Amen. Let there be peace, and let it start in me. We'll be in Matthew 5. We're going through the Beatitudes these last several weeks, one by one. It's been a great study. I've enjoyed it so much, and I'm glad to share it with you. As you turn in there, I do have to take a moment just to say thank you to our team. We show up here with the plan, a prayed over plan, and then they let me get up here and I mess everything up. And there's been two major fumbles during this service so far, and our team upstairs and down and behind me here, they have definitely just flexed with that. So I love you guys, and it's a wonderful to worship with you. We'll be going through the Beatitudes, and remember the setting that we have here is Jesus is, he's seen the crowds, his heart is for him, he remembers his mission essentially, and he sits down and his gaze is focused on his disciples, and he begins to teach the greatest sermon that's ever been preached, and that's the Sermon on the Mount. And he begins with the Beatitudes, and that's what we've been looking at these last several weeks. And today we move down to verse 9. And Jesus has started all of these with, blessed are. And we'll see that in just a moment. Let's pray, and then we'll read the Word of God. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your Word. We are thankful for your mercy and grace that's opened up our hearts and minds to your truth. And we pray, Lord, that as we read this passage and as we study Scripture and we study the meaning behind these words, Lord, we pray for your anointing, Lord, for me to speak and read, and Lord, for us to hear, and Lord, for us all to go out, Lord, with the mindset of Christ. And Lord, may peace, let there be peace, the peace of Christ, the peace that is Christ, and may it begin in us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've read several scriptures, peace, it's a description of who Jesus is. He has brought peace. And so reading from Matthew 5, 9, it says, Jesus speaking here, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And now a peacemaker here, in looking at this word and breaking it in two, it's a compound word, and where the word peace, we know peace, we feel peace, we desire peace, and is that of rest, of there's wholeness, that we're at peace, and to put it in another view, to look at the antonym of it, peace would be the absence of conflict. Who doesn't like the absence of conflict? Whether it be in your own struggle, in your marriage, in your home, at your school, in the workplace, in the neighborhood, on the news, would there even be any news in the absence of conflict? But that is peace. And then we get to this word maker. And it really changes the whole idea of what Jesus is talking about. Peace. Sometimes peace, we can just assume that's just not to make ripples, to be quiet, to be humble, to be meek. And well, we've looked at what Jesus intended for all these things. In the midst of it, it's not that Christians just simply just roll over. No, but there is strength, but there is righteousness, and there is a way. There's a world's way, and there's God's way, and then that's what he brings here. And looking at this maker, I want to look at Hebrews 12. It brings an insight to what we're reading here and what we'll be talking about today of a peacemaker. I'm going to look specifically at Hebrews 12, 14. Here the writer of Hebrews says, I hear some of you turning, I'll wait. But and this is perfect, it goes right along with what Jesus is teaching here. Imagine that. Verse 14, pursue peace with all men. And it says, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. This word pursue here, it gives us a perspective into what Jesus is talking about being a peacemaker, where the word literally means an aggressive chase. an aggressive chase, to pursue. We find the translation in the NIV being make every effort, the NLT, work at. The King James is to follow it. The English Standard Version says to strive for it, to strive for it. Again, looking again with the character of Christ, from the perspective of the character of Christ and the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, it's an aggressive chase, and it gives us an example where it says, like a hunter pursuing a catch. Praise God that many of us, we don't have to go hunt and pursue what we're going to eat for dinner tonight. But imagine a hunter. Maybe we've seen in National Geographic. Imagine if all you have to eat, and what you depend on and how you take care of your family is what you catch and what you hunt. You're going to pursue, and you're not going to go home without it. Thank God, or my wife would be. Thank God for Winn-Dixie and Walmart and things like that, or we would be in trouble. But again, it gives even more a pursuit with haste, with an earnest desire to overtake it. This is what Jesus is talking about being a peacemaker, is that we don't just sit back and expect peace to happen and to be upset when peace isn't happening and talk about those who are causing conflict. But he is talking about us to be pursuers of peace in an aggressive way. And you're like, oh, well, that just kind of seems to conflict just a little bit. Well, let's study here. Again, it doesn't just happen. This peace in our own life, in our own struggles that nobody else talks about, the struggles that are here, that happens in here and here, and that we fight in prayer, and the peace that we have in our marriages, in our home, in our workplace, in our schools, and in our neighborhoods, every aspect of our life. It doesn't just happen in our culture. It doesn't just happen even in the church. Where we do have a culture that tends to flee conflict. Again, as I already said, but moving on to point one, where peacemakers strive. We're going to be using that word. Peacemakers strive. They aggressively pursue first to make peace with God. This peace that we're talking about today, if we do not have faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then this peace cannot ever be ended. The rest of this service means nothing. The peace that we should pursue first is that with God. That we are people who are sinners and we have been saved by grace. Everything that we've read this morning from the scriptures are talking about there is a darkness in this world, a darkness that is in our lives. That darkness is called sin, and we are separated from God through that. But because of his grace, he has sent this child that grew up to be a man, that taught us everything that we need to know, has arranged for it to be in our hands each and every day of our lives, and that we are to live that way. And then this man that died on the cross, who was dead for 3 days, rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and he's promising the second advent. There will be a day that we'll be in heaven, and we'll be singing about this, just as we're singing Christmas carols about how he came. Emmanuel, God with us, we will be with him one day. This is the faith, this peace. We cannot have it. It is a daily, daily struggle. First that we come to a place in faith, but then there is that struggle that we have with still the flesh and the spirit. Oh, and that struggle that we have with daily sin. You're like, I don't sin. Well, guess what? First John, the scriptures would say that if we are without sin, then we are liars. And that is the truth. We do have this struggle. We come to this to these inner struggles that we have, and the Holy Spirit brings conviction and that daily devotion that we have with God of confession. Is that fellowship, is that peace, that confession brings peace. Again, peacemakers strive. They strive to make peace with God. Next to peacemakers, they strive to make peace within others. Within others. Part of who we are is when we come to the place of faith in Christ, that we become aware of the great commandment through the Holy Spirit in us, we are able to love God and also to love other people. And the reality of how we live, how we love, how we speak to others, how we treat others, how we share the gospel, it leads others to make peace with God also. And again, always, always through the character of Christ. Never, and we've shared this so many times, if we find ourselves in a physical debate where we're arguing about the things of God, friend, that has become conflict. About I'm right, you're wrong, and things like that. That is not what we're talking about. This is the love of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that is speaking into people's lives. It is not a peace that we can force into somebody, but it is a peace that God has put in us and that spreads through us. And the next, a peacemaker strives. It also is a person who strives to make peace between others. Oh, we know that we have, through sin, there's a conflict between us and God, and Jesus Christ, he redeems us and settles that conflict. But then also times, whether it be in our own homes, in our lives, in our workplaces, in our church house, and in our church family, and everywhere there are people, everywhere there are people, there's potential conflict. But the peacemaker strives, again, aggressively pursues, listen to this, to solve disputes. Again, all with the character of Christ, to reconcile differences, to eliminate strife, to silence tongues. And I'm not talking about the spiritual gifts. What I'm talking about is that of gossip, of complaining, of lies, of grumbling, of bringing strife through words. They strive to erase divisions. We've been studying 1 Corinthians on Wednesday night, and all that is about division in the church and that Paul is talking about. And he's just saying, get your focus on Christ, get your focus on Christ, get your focus on Christ. And the ultimate goal of a peacemaker who strives is to build relationships, to build relationships. Number two, we see that first we see peacemakers strive to do these different things, but a peacemakers, they are those who love peace, but they do not passively accept trouble. Again, this is a peacemaker. This is somebody who is intentionally that is going to make peace. And there are those, now listen to this, there are those that say they love peace. I think we'd all say that we love peace, but peace doesn't just happen. And they say they love peace, but they remove themselves. They leave, they flee, they ignore the problems, they evade the issues, they make no attempt to bring peace into the situation. Oh, that is not a peacemaker. That's a conflict avoider, I guess that's a word. True peacemakers, they face the trouble and they work to bring peace. And any peace that a peacemaker would try to bring into a troubled situation, it's always, always, always got to be through the character of Christ and through the fruits of the Holy Spirit. What am I talking about, the character of Christ? And I'm talking about we've come to the place of praying where, oh God, you know this conflict. You know what's happening. You know what's happening within me, within my own mind, within my own heart. Lord, please help me. Lord, you know what's happening between my friend, between my brother, through my coworker, through my spouse, through whatever. Lord, be with them. Lord, you know what is happening between so-and-so or me and so-and-so. Lord, this is it. Lord, Lord, show me where I can be a part. And Lord, with the fruits of your Holy Spirit, which are love, joy, and what, church? Peace, and there's several others, but peace is part of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, and we come to a place of praying, even sometimes even fasting, where we say, oh God, lead us and be a part of this. Help my words be your words, and we look in the Word of God, and we say, Lord, what is your truth? Talk about my part in this issue. And that is the peacemaker. They love peace, but again, they do not passively accept trouble. Which leads us to the next one. Peacemakers oppose the troublemakers. There are troublemakers in this world. There are troublemakers in churches across our country. Praise God. And if you're a guest with us today, I don't know of any troublemakers at or here, which makes these sermons a whole lot more more fun. And peacemakers oppose the troublemakers. And friends, this is just not in the context of the church. This is in the context of life. Maybe some of you are troublemakers. Maybe some of you here in the church, you look really good and you dress up nice and stuff like that. But when you go to the workplace, you're really a troublemaker. Oh, we know that how are we going to improve a society? If you to help society, we got to help the church. To help the church, we got to help the family. To help the family, we got to help the marriage. And to help the marriage, we got to help the individual spouses. How many of us that we paint this picture of a perfect family here, but really in our marriages, in our homes, that there really isn't any peace? What about in our families? We're about to have Christmas, and some of us are just kind of stomaching to get through this thing that we do with the family. Oh, if we can just have peace for this next couple hours over this Christmas dinner. Oh, peacemakers oppose the troublemakers. If there is no opposition to the troublemakers, there is no peace. There will be no peace. And it requires courage. It requires courage because it's not fun at all. Requires courage and 100% dependent upon the Holy Spirit to lead through. But let's talk about troublemakers. We may have different views of troublemakers. First, a troublemaker of those who use verbal force. And what am I talking about? A verbal force, loudness, getting loud with people. You've observed that. If you hadn't seen it in real life, you've seen it on TV. We can even call it maybe yelling. But there's a loudness. There's a dominating of the conversation. There are sometimes threats. And maybe not threats of bodily harm, but threats. So I'm going to do this if I don't get my way. Or I'm going to do this or do that. I'm going to leave the marriage. Or I'm going to take this or that. Or I'm going to leave the church. And with that threat, it's always goodbye if you're talking to me. And I didn't mean to throw myself in that, but the troublemaker that brings in threats to get their way, there is no Jesus in them whatsoever. It is all flesh and self. There's bigotry, there's abuse, there's gossips, there's criticism, there's grumbling, and there's murmuring. Those are the verbal, those are the troublemakers that bring things in through verbal force. There's also physical force. And let's talk about physical force. We instantly go to the thought of somebody that is using their hands or fists and bringing people bodily harm. But there is the physical force of facial expressions, of body language. That maybe our words are saying things, but our face is scowled or doing other things, bringing harm. These troublemakers that are using that. Again, whatever aspect of your life, everything that we read from this book is not for just this building. It's for everywhere where you live all the time. And maybe you even struggle with some of these things. Again, body motions, an overpowering presence that sometimes we can see. These are the troublemakers that are in the world, and sometimes we can maybe all be guilty of these things. But trouble, whether it's minor, whether it's major, whether it's distasteful, whether it's outright bitter, it has to be opposed. Somebody has to have the courage to go in without being a troublemaker themselves. That's the tough part. That's the tough part, because as soon as you go in and you cross the line and you become a troublemaker, you've left the Holy Spirit. You've left the character of Christ. You are doing no good whatsoever. But you go in, again, through prayer, through even fasting, and say, and with the Word of God, and with the hopes, always with the hopes of restoration. Always with the hopes of restoration. And we come, and peacemakers, what do? They go in to settle the matter. They go in to solve the problem. They go in to handle the differences. They go in to reconcile the parties involved. Again, all in the character of Christ. And once we get to these places where we have these, again, these verbal forces, these physical forces, we've entered the trouble. And that is not of Christ. Often it requires truth and love. And to have the truth and love, we first got to know the truth. And then we got to really be in a place of love to where we go and handle these things. Let's take a look at troublemaking in Scripture real quick. Let's look at James 4. James 4. We're real close. If you were still in Hebrews, like I was, it's like two or three pages over to the right. James 4. We're going to look specifically at verses 1 and 2. Where the word says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Well, what is the source? Don't we want to know what that is? Is not the source, listen to this, your pleasures that wage war in your members. You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Think about on the spots. I mean, think about any argument that you have had that you've really been fired up about. You've been fired up about. Maybe there's an injustice involved, and there is a holy injustice. I mean, where you just you get fired up about those things, but you need to handle those still correctly in the love of God and to the character of Christ. But where you've had conflict, think about what desire has been at the seat of that in your heart. Why have you been fired up? Is it over the injustice? Is it over? James says here, the source of our quarrels is our own pleasures that wage war within us. We lust and we do not have. We commit murder. We are envious and cannot obtain. Oh, that can fit in so many different situations. And then Romans 16, if we can look in there. Romans 16. It'll be on the board, or you can look with me. In Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. That works out. 16, 17, 18. Gives us some instruction here as peacemakers. Paul writes to the Church of Rome, he says, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting." Again, it's their own appetites. Their own desires of way. I perceive it should be this way. I want it to be this way. If I were in charge, I would do it like this. Hey, I have the right to this. And because things aren't going the way I desire for them to do now, there's going to be trouble started. Again, our own desires, our own appetites. A quote that I want to, it comes from a peacemaker, and I forget the name of it. His first name's Ken. I can't remember the last name right now. But our fights reveal our real desires, is what he writes. Listen to that. Our fights reveal our real desires. And listen to this. And our real desires reveal that our hearts are in love with idols. With idols, with things that are not of God. With things that are of this world, with these things that, hey, we think our life should be this way and whatever the situation is, whatever the role is, oh, I think it should be like this. It's not, so therefore, there's a problem. There's going to be trouble. You know, when it comes to troublemaking, the solution is always the gospel. It is always the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about God's love. It's about God. There's no way that a peacemaker can aggressively go and pursue peace without God's love. It can't happen. The answer is always the gospel. I mean, look at what we just read in these two passages. Is that the problem is that their focus is on them, on my desires, on my thoughts, on my way, on what I think is best, on me, me, me. And so everything about the troublemakers often is their eyes have gotten off of him, him, him. Oh, and the gospel, what is the gospel about? It is about focusing on God and coming to a place where we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our might, with all that we are. And then the next is to love other people as we love ourselves. Remember the golden rule, do unto others as what? You want them to do unto you. Yeah, and so when we begin to love other people as we love ourselves, which that could be a whole nother sermon. Some of us struggle with that; it's real. But we can when we think of it like that, like Lord, first confession: I see trouble, Lord. I smell smoke. There's fire, Lord. I'm involved and this and that, Lord. I love you. What does your word say about this, Lord? I'll submit to you. I'll submit to you in this. What is my part in this? And Lord, you say to love your neighbor. The reality is if we're in that situation, we're having difficulty loving that person, probably. And Lord, I'm having difficulty loving this person. But Lord, I love them, and you say to love them as I love myself. And so Lord, if I was in this situation and this was them and I needed to be confronted, I'd want to be confronted in this way. And then you go and you live like that. Lord, Holy Spirit, be with me, help me. And you go and do that. Again, peacemakers. And they go and they take care of that. And again, the solution is the gospel. And then the focus is always on Christ in our own mind, in your own struggles. Folks, I don't know what you struggle with. I know I struggle with different things off and on. And the answer is always the gospel. What about in your marriages? What do you mean this is a church? Well, guess what? The marital rates, divorce rates aren't any different within the church. Imagine if the gospel was at the foundation of every marriage. I'm mad at my spouse. He or she is not doing what I expect they ought to be doing. Oh, Lord, let me focus on you. What does it say about me as a husband? Oh man, if all of us husbands lived in the way that Jesus Christ and we became to love our brides as Christ loves the church. That's Ephesians 5. You can find that. And then the same way, there's plenty about the wives. What if we got in the place and before we even thought about our spouse, we said, Lord, fill me with the truth of your gospel and help me love my wife, help me love my children, help me love my coworkers, my fellow students, my neighbors, even though they may be troublemakers, Lord, fill me with the truth of your gospel. We have God who loves us. We have a God who loves them. We have a God, we have a Holy Spirit that indwells us and that works through us. But what about in the church? Pastor, isn't that your job? Isn't that what we give you a salary for? Friends, this is the truth of conflict and the church when it comes to the pastor. By the time it gets to me, there's at least 1 foot out the door. Because it's already happened with you and it's festered into a spot to where it's come to me. And the scripture doesn't say, blessed are the pastors who are peacemakers. Where Christ is talking to the disciples. So it's blessed who are the Christ followers, the disciples. You, we are all called to be peacemakers. We all have the responsibility first to handle our own issues. We all have the responsibility to go and make a confrontation when there's needed to make a confrontation. And again, in the way and the character of Christ that we've talked about here, it's all of our job to be peacemakers and to pursue that peace. But what if we can't do that? Well, again, it's in Scripture we find methods for that. Troublemakers are to be confronted. Troublemakers are to be warned. And the scripture is clear that troublemakers are to be removed. And so often in the church, we in other parts in life, is that we fail on all of those parts. And we are to be peacemakers. Big idea today, let there be peace, and may it start with me. Let there be peace, and may it start with me. Talks about a reward here too in Matthew 5:9. Where it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And this, the reward here is that when we live in such a way where we love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, that we are first to have reconciliation with God and have peace with God. I mean, we become brothers and sisters of Christ and heirs to the kingdom. And that is an amazing award. But I want to leave today with this on your mind. Not that I'm coming to bring any. I don't know your situation. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how you act. But I hear stories. Being a pastor, you hear stories. Being a bivocational pastor, you see things. And I'm just like, man, you know, they proclaim to be a member of this church. They proclaim to be a Christian. But then they live like this. And sometimes I'm thinking, if my folks live like that, I hope they don't tell anybody they go to my church. You know, are you a troublemaker? Are you in, would you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ? But there's just something unsettled in you. Maybe it's your own personal battles, your own personal struggle. That's a part of life. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's in your school, wherever. I've mentioned those different places a million times. Maybe it's a place I haven't even mentioned. But are you a troublemaker? Are you the one with the loud, domineering voice? You know, we talked about the fruits of the Spirit just a moment ago, and we said love, joy. We stopped at peace, but it's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, and I missed one. Kindness. Oh, kindness. Kindness and gentleness. Friend, if you are a follower of Christ in your marriage, in your family, even your extended family, even your outlaw family, even your neighbor who won't do whatever you think they ought to be doing, all these things, if we are a follower of Christ, we are to be peacemakers. We are to be filled with love, joy, and that gentleness, and that kindness, and that self-control. Oh, if you're a troublemaker, friend, you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to get one-on-one with God and say, God, this is how I feel, and this is why I feel. And if you want to get loud with somebody, if you want to get angry with somebody, get angry with God and tell him he can handle it. Am I saying that he deserves that? No, I'm not, but he can handle it. And guess what? He calls confession fellowship. And you get to that place and say, Lord, this is why I'm troubled. This is why I'm in my job, in my marriage. Lord, this is it. And you confess those things to him, and you say, Lord, fill me, purge me, Lord, of the deeds of my flesh with your fruits of your Spirit, and let him begin a work in you. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, saying, I hope so-and-so is hearing it, you need to get alone too. What are you causing to make so-and-so do it? We know, some of us are parents here. So-and-so hit me. Well, what'd you do first? None of us are in a place where we are so righteous that we can take care of these things. It is through Christ. And if we find ourselves in the place to be a peacemaker, don't go and try to make that peace unless you have gotten to a place of submission before the Lord. For me, it looks like on my hands and knees with my face on the ground saying, oh God, help me in this. Oh God, lead me, speak through me, give me courage. Lord, give me the right words to say. And that's what it looks like. Maybe you find yourself and there's trouble there and you need to confront it. You know it's a brother of Christ or a sister of Christ. They're at work or they're in your family. They're this or that. And you know that they're not doing the things of God. Well, then another scripture we can look at is at the, I think it's at the end of Timothy or Titus, is where it comes about snatching a brother out of the fire. Where we come and we bring this confrontation and we go again in prayer and maybe even fasting and we go and we talk to this brother and sister and say, hey, tell me about your faith in Christ. Oh yeah, I love Jesus and I go to so-and-so church. And I'm like, when I read, you know, scripture says this and I see you acting like this and I'm wondering what the world thinks when they hear that you love Jesus but you act like this. And friend, there's conflict here. And then you let the Holy Spirit work in their life. You know, they're not right there going to say, you know, you're right. They might get mad at you. And guess what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to love them. Love them. Love them. Because if the Holy Spirit's going to work in them and bring conviction into their life, in a day or two, the Holy Spirit's just going to open up their hearts and minds to it, and they're going to come to a place of repentance. And maybe they won't be, but it's possible there might be a place where they came and say, you know what? You are right. You are right. Thank you for talking to me about that. And I tell you, if it's driven by the Holy Spirit, you can fumble it and there's going to be some amazing things. Guess what? We've talked about the strength of the church, be it with unity. We've talked about generosity. Friend, if we don't become peacemakers where we actively, aggressively pursue peace, the peace that is of Jesus Christ, then there will always be divisions, and division in the church affects the mission of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Christ, and it's a unified body that he works through, and for us to deliver peace of the gospel throughout this world, it takes all of us to be a place where we are peacemakers. Again, remember the gospel in every aspect of your life, and be a peacemaker in your own mind, in your marriage, in your home, in your workplace, your neighborhood. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I don't have the time to list all the times that I've been a troublemaker. Lord, where my own desires and my own appetite has caused conflict in my own life, Lord, even with you. And Lord, I am so thankful. We are so thankful, Lord, that you are a God who, through Jesus Christ, keeps no list of the times that we've been troubled. We're thankful that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And through his blood, through his sacrifice, through your love, through your grace, through redemption, Lord, we can be a people of peace. May it be so. Lord, give us the courage. Lead us and guide us through conviction of our next step, if there is one. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.